there. Welcome to the Alaska Associated General Contractors podcast. Today we are interviewing Larry Bell with the National Electrical Contractors Association. He is the executive manager. My name is Bronson Fry. Thank you for joining us today. Larry, how are you doing?
I'm good, Bronson. I'm good. Glad to be here.
Great. Well, appreciate your time. Just wanted to take a little while and ask you about your background, your experience in construction here in Alaska. So to get started, maybe you could tell us just a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and how did you get into the electrical trade?
Well, Bronson, like you said, I'm the executive manager of the National Electrical Contractors Association. Keep it short, we call it NECA, Alaska Chapter. Been over there for about a half a dozen years and started out, like all things in construction or most things, as an apprentice back in 1994.
Was that here in Alaska?
Yep, started the apprenticeship right here just in the old facility that used to be over on Boniface. Mm-hmm. Now we have the training facilities just off of Potter Road.
Nice. Now, what made you pick electrical work? Are you from here in Alaska originally? Is that a family background, or how did you get into that?
Family background. My dad was a wireman electrician.
Okay.
I actually grew up in New Mexico on a small farm down there, and when we weren't working the farm, my dad did electrical work.
Okay.
Came up in 1984, mm-hmm. when we heard rumors of a big construction boom that was going on in Alaska, and like a lot of folks that came up during the middle to late 80s, we got up here and couldn't afford to go back to New Mexico where I grew up.
Found out that boom was just ending, unfortunately.
We just missed the good old days.
Right. Gotcha. So how old were you then when you started your apprenticeship?
So I graduated high school in 86, and like a lot of folks, I mean, there was a lot of conversation about going on to college and the like. I knew that I wasn't necessarily bound for college. A lot of kids still find themselves in that position. So looked around at other things to do. Like a lot of other kids, I also grew up knowing I didn't want to do what my dad did.
Right.
So I took the first opportunity, went and watched a great Clint Eastwood movie that talked about Marine Corps boot camp. Figured there was no way it could be as tough as it looked the movies.
Oh, wow.
And 12 seconds into boot camp, standing on those yellow footprints, I wondered, what in the world did I get myself into?
Oh, man.
Finished up boot camp, got back. I just went in the reserves, got back to Alaska, and bounced around a little bit. Did everything from car sales to insurance sales to painting to laboring on the job. Found myself back in the construction realm, mm-hmm. and ultimately, about 9 years later, went down and applied for the electrical apprenticeship program.
Gotcha.
After 9 years of debating back and forth with my dad. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, I have to say I know something about growing up knowing that college is probably not in the cards. You know, that was kind of my own personal background. Got into an apprenticeship of my own a couple weeks out of high school. Now, the electrical program, how long is that, the apprenticeship?
So we actually, over our program, we do three different programs, outside line, communications, and inside wireman. I actually went into the inside wireman trade, which is 8,000 hours of apprenticeship, mm-hmm. spread out over five different schooling sessions, mm-hmm. That each take place about 7 weeks apiece.
Understood.
We do all of our schooling, and they still do. They did it 23 years ago that way. They still do it that way today, whereas you come in for full-time school, mm-hmm. usually in the winter when construction tends to slow down. Mm-hmm. You do your session of school for 7 weeks and then look to go back out to the field to put what you learned in class to work.
Gotcha. So it's like a block training.
Correct. We call it
winter.
Day school.
Okay.
So you're actually coming in and doing a schooling segment.
Now, for just those that might be thinking about an apprenticeship as an option for their future, during that 7 weeks when you're in class, are you eligible for unemployment?
You're eligible for unemployment. And then ideally, you know, our apprentices are starting out at roughly $25 an hour, mm-hmm. plus a benefit package, which
gotcha.
Is meant to enable them to save some money,
right.
so that when they go back to school, it's not entirely a financial hardship.
Good deal.
It is construction, and as most of us that have been in construction for a while know, that there are times when you're extremely busy, And there are times when it slows down. We try to time our schooling around that.
Sure, makes sense. The Painters Union, which I'm affiliated with, has recently gone to a block training system for our apprentices, something along those lines.
The nice thing about that setup, right, is the employers that participate in that, they know that apprentices are going to school. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the benefits to our program is we do job placement, I guess, if you will. When you're done with school, you've got folks that are actively looking for a place for you to go to work with another one of our employers. Mm-hmm. That'll ideally put you to work till you go back to school again.
Perfect. And like most apprenticeships, I assume that the IBEW has a graduated pay scale. So as you work and accumulate hours in the trade, you get a little raise each step along the way.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. Our apprenticeship program, every 1,000 hours, gotcha. You're getting a 5% pay increase.
Okay. That makes sense.
And so, then as you're wrapping up that program 4 years into it, you're making 80% of what a journeyman's making.
Perfect. So, if you're working full time, 1,000 hours should be about 6 months.
Correct.
So that's a pretty good clip to
get
your raises.
Goes by fast.
For sure.
And again, usually enables you to save enough money so that when you're in school for 7 weeks, maybe draw on unemployment, you can take that schooling session and not get behind on your bills.
Gotcha. Understood.
If you drive over to the school right now, it looks like a used car lot. The only difference is it's all made up of new Chevy, GMC, Toyota,
cars.
And Dodge pickup trucks.
Good, as well it should.
Evidently, nobody makes more money than an apprentice.
They would sure like you to believe that. Well, so you completed your apprenticeship and then became a journeyman level worker out in the field. Where did you transition from there? How did that work for you?
Well, like I tell folks when I go speak at the school now, the apprenticeship was great for me, and it has led down a career path that I never saw coming. When I finished the apprenticeship program, you're right, turned out was a journeyman wireman. Found the opportunity to work up through the ranks in a pretty rapid manner. Went from 80% apprentice to, by the time the Marriott downtown was finished, kind of dating myself, but that was the high rise of the day back then. And by the time that job was over, the job I started as a high-time apprentice, I completed as a general foreman, overseeing about 36 guys on the job.
Nice.
Again, you'll never hear me do anything but brag about our apprenticeship program, because it does prepare you for whatever your career path leads you to.
Outstanding.
Within a couple of years from that, you mentioned that you're part of the Painters and Allied Crafts, a trade union. Well, obviously, our apprenticeship program is administered in part by the IBEW. A lot of people call it the Electrical Workers Apprenticeship Program.
Mm-hmm.
The training I received in there enabled me to quickly rise to a position where I was running work, showing leadership out in the field, was the guy that attended my IBEW meetings, my union meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And being young and ambitious, one of those guys that always had a lot of questions, how different things worked. That can get you recognized.
Yeah. You start showing up to meetings. It doesn't take long from there.
You show up and you're participating. Did a lot of volunteer projects.
Good.
Anyhow, was afforded the opportunity to go to work at the Union Hall.
Oh, nice.
Early on as an organizer or membership development representative.
Mm-hmm.
And did that for, I think, about 8 months. Ultimately decided that I wasn't through working in the field. Wanted to go back out there and build some stuff. I like driving the kids around and telling them your dad built that.
Right, yeah.
I think most of our employees do.
So sitting in an office didn't suit you?
Well,
at least not at the time.
one of the eye-openers for me when I went to work at the IBEW is there wasn't a lot of sitting in the office to do.
Right,
it was I did get introduced to a salaried position.
Right, yeah.
But not so much 8 hours a day or sitting around collecting the big check.
Right.
A lot of work to be done. And again, I still had a desire to work with my hands and build projects, build Alaska.
Nice. So you moved back into the field, and then in what capacity at that point were you working?
So, like most people, went back, you know, as a journeyman, did a few intersections in the Mat-Su in Anchorage, and got right back into vertical construction, building schools, doing works in the hospitals, and on the military bases for electrical contractors, and found myself right back into that role while I was in the field building things. Ended up back in the office in the job shack, or, you know, the job site trailer.
Field office, yeah.
In the field office, overseeing the projects getting built.
Gotcha.
Did that for another 5 years, and ultimately taking advantage of another opportunity to go to work back at the labor union, the IBEW, mm-hmm. as a construction representative. And a couple years after that, got elected to the highest position in the labor union. Got elected business manager, financial secretary in 2005.
Outstanding.
Over statewide local union.
I think I probably first crossed paths with you right around then.
When we met with your counterpart over there, or your cohort, I guess, Chris Gregg.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now that's an interesting transition, and I think it's kind of a fascinating thing that labor unions are democratic institutions, most of them, and the members, which are just guys and gals that work out in construction, elect their representative. So what was that experience like, going from working in the field to, you know, being hired to work in a union office and then being elected to the highest position in that union for the state?
Well, it introduced me to politics.
Right. Its own little special brand of politics, too.
Sure, sure.
Union
politics. It was an engaging opportunity. You know, you're an elected official in the state of Alaska. Many of you will know Sarah Palin.
Heard of her.
Who actually once told me, the idea of running for a statewide office versus a local union office, something they were not—they would certainly not be interested in. has a little bit to do with being under the magnifying glass.
Sure.
You know, you're running, you're asking your membership for a job that you're going to then do every day of the year that turns right around and impacts that membership.
Exactly.
And leadership isn't always popular.
Right.
So, and whether you're in the state capitol or the local union hall or the board of directors,
right?
So, but it was good. I actually got to serve in that capacity for 7 years or three election cycles before I decided to take on the role over at the Contractors Association.
Now, that's real interesting and something I'd like to touch on, because in your role as the business manager for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, or IBEW, some of your duties, maybe even your primary duty, depending on your perspective, would be to negotiate the collective bargaining agreements that outline the wages and the terms and the conditions for work for the hundreds and thousands of members represented by your union. So you did that for several years on the labor side of the table as the business manager for the local there, and then eventually made a shift over to NECA. And what I'd like to ask you is a little bit specifically, what is NECA? How does it interact with the IBEW? So what is the relationship there? And then specifically, how did your job change when it comes to some of those key objectives like contract negotiations?
Sure, sure. So backing up a little bit, NECA, National Electrical Contractors Association, it's a nationwide membership of electrical contractors.
Okay.
My membership is solely that, electrical contractors. What's unique about NECA is that in order to be a member of NECA, we only represent signatory electrical contractors in our day-to-day. So contractors that have chosen to sign a labor agreement with the IBEW qualify for membership. We negotiate, the association does, negotiates the collective bargaining agreements with the IBEW that all signatory contractors work under.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason, we have a high level of participation from our membership. Of the work performed by IBEW signatory contractors, NECA represents upwards of 86% of those hours worked that are worked by NECA members.
Gotcha.
because most employers go into the business because they want to have a say in how they run their business.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to be a signatory employer, they obviously want to have a part in what the workplace rules, if you will, they follow look like.
Sure.
So then they participate in NECA.
Gotcha.
And NECA serves as that voice, no different than an employee's union speaks for an employee.
Yeah.
NECA is the voice of that contractor group.
So where a group of workers in a union elect a representative or a spokesperson to speak on their behalf, negotiate on their behalf, at the same time, you've got a group of employers who have all signed the same collective bargaining agreement, agreed to abide by the same terms and conditions and wages, but they also need a representative at the table. It just seems, I don't know, logistically to make more sense. And
difference being, I'm not elected by the contractors, I'm hired by the contractors.
A subtle but distinct difference, to be sure. So that being said, how is the job as a business manager compared to being the executive manager of NECA? Is there some similarities? Are they wildly divergent? What is your experience there?
So for me, it was an easy move to make. The NECA IBEW relationships is recognized as a strong and effective labor management partnership,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way we view it. The issues that come up on the construction site affect the employer and the employee alike. Both entities are dealing with trends in the market, market share, movements that are going on out there, and training needs. We all have those same issues. Our approach is to deal with them together in partnership and keep moving our industry forward. That part of the relationship is a part of it, the whole negotiations aspect.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, NECA and the IBEW administer our different retirement trusts, health mm-hmm. and welfare trusts, our apprenticeship fund.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all done in partnership. That
right.
The position at the table, while my title changed,
mm-hmm.
viewpoints, actions, and approaches stayed
yeah.
constant.
I like that. So your worldview didn't change as much
worldview
as your
didn't,
title.
Didn't change. Didn't start drinking a different colored Kool-Aid the next day.
still drinking Kool-Aid.
Still
but not the
still
same
Kool-Aid drinker.
Same stuff. No, that's good. Well, I appreciate that. And I would like to just say, as somebody that serves in a role of leadership in a labor union myself, I appreciate the view of the labor management cooperating together, having mutual gains bargaining sessions, and really viewing the relationship as a partnership between labor and management, because that is key. And I believe it is crucial for the future of our industry, of our state, and all of those things. So I have to say, from the perspective of labor, I think it would be great to have someone with your background representing the contractors in this arrangement. So I imagine that is a real symbiotic relationship there for the electrical industry here.
Sure. And that's not to say that, you know, I mean, I obviously somebody sitting in the position that I sat in at one time at the IBEW, and that's not to say that I don't have lively conversations and meetings from time to time on
right.
different topics or issues of the day. But at the end of that conversation,
mm-hmm.
The goal is to move that football down the field,
yeah.
if you will.
Well, that's the worldview part. I mean,
correct.
We always agree on everything.
Correct.
But
correct.
At the end of the day, we're all in this together.
Correct. Correct.
And that's the point. Well, that's really cool. So how have you seen the industry change? I mean, having a consistent worldview, if you will, or view of an industry or approach to a job is good and it's appropriate, but that doesn't mean that everything being equal remains unchanged.
Sure.
So when
sure.
it comes to the electrical industry in Alaska, what are some observations you've had over the last, you know, years of your career?
So I don't think necessarily the electrical aspect is any different than what the rest of the industry has seen, if you will. You know, I mean, modernization of trade practices, the level at which we function efficiently, and the role continual education plays in the process is more evident than ever. You can't learn how to wire up a certain lighting system today and know you're going to do that for the next 20 years.
Sure.
It's going to be different 2 years from now.
Interesting.
Technology in every aspect of life, right? I mean, my first telephone had to be connected to the wall to work.
Right. Right. Did it spin? Did it have a little dial on it? You're not that old. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't have a crank on it?
Didn't have a crank. But I
Just kidding.
But I did get to show my kids' phones that you put quarters in the other
day.
There
you go.
And we had a whole code to use to avoid putting quarters in the phone when I went to school. So anyhow, things have changed.
Right.
Tremendously. That's happened in the field, right? And now things are coming out that are advancing that even more, right? To
sure.
monitor movements of an individual on the job site, not so you can see what they're doing, but so you control efficiencies and monitor efficiencies.
Interesting.
Do you need a certain tool for everybody on the job site if they're only used half the time?
You know,
and how to track that and monitor that and make sure that the investment in the job site is truly what it needs to be.
Well, that's really cool.
And that plays right down to the individual performing the work, right?
Absolutely.
Apprentices play a more crucial role in a job site than ever before. When I was getting into the program, the job site was almost entirely a classroom to learn. Hmm. Now apprentices are expected to learn on the job mm-hmm. site while at the same time
being productive. Oh yeah.
And that's in all honesty, that's a better learning environment. I mean, they're applying as they go.
Absolutely.
And you're probably cutting that teaching time in half.
Right.
With that being the case. But we're poised for the future. I mean, things are good. I mean, of course, you know, current state of the economy aside, like I said, I came up in 1984. Have seen a challenging economy before. Was very fortunate to spend most of my career in the midst of a 23-year, nothing short of boom in Alaska.
Right.
Now we're seeing a downturn in that economy that we've seen over the course of the last 20 some years, but it's been 6 months or a year in nature,
right?
As opposed to the last couple of years we've been involved with.
No, that's interesting. I started my apprenticeship 2 weeks out of high school in 2001, and I mean me and my peers of the same say 5 or 7 year period there that got into the construction industry as a career, enjoyed 10, 15 years of steady work. And when everything has slowed down recently, we've got a lot of guys that I know that now have young families, right?
Sure,
and they've settled down, bought houses, this and that. And it's, there's a certain amount of panic here and there for some folks trying to realize, oh man, I might have to leave or move, kind of follow the work. And what many people in my generation don't realize is that is actually normal.
Sure.
Us being able to be here for 10 years or more and work steady in one place, especially kind of a remote place like Alaska, is really an anomaly. Like we got in on a really good time, the early 2000s and on, we're pretty solid up here. And so really it's kind of coming to terms with what has historically always been the norm in the construction industry.
Right, right.
And so, that's been kind of a bit of reality that many of us that are coming to terms with now. A lot of guys have left. I don't know. Have you seen that in the electrical trade? People traveling elsewhere for work?
Well, sure. Some of the benefit being that, when you make the investment in training that we make, the individuals that complete that training can really take that skill set anywhere in the country they want to go.
Right.
And that's a benefit. Things slow down. We've got folks that I've worked around or with for the last 20 years or less that have taken their families with them. They're working outside. They're traveling out and working a couple months, coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We're fortunate. I mean, things may be slow in Alaska right now, but they are booming elsewhere.
Right.
And,
that's a great point.
And the electrical craft is definitely something you can take on the road with you.
Right.
And show up anywhere in the country and apply
make
that
a
craft.
Living. So that's a good segue into another question I had, because with many folks choosing to take their skills to other parts of the country, which is good for them, it's great that they have an ability to do that. Where does that leave us in Alaska when it comes to the future when things do turn around? Though they will turn around eventually. And I sometimes wonder, and I've talked to different folks, and would like to ask your opinion on what you think the future holds for our workforce here in the next, say, 5 or 10 years. Are we going to be in a position where things pick up and then we don't have enough people here? Do you think that's a possibility? Do you think that we're well insulated against that? You spoke of the training earlier with the apprenticeship program. Will you think that will be able to balance out what may be a shortage of qualified manpower in the future? Or do you think we're going to be fine, you know, regardless?
Well, for as far as electrical apprenticeship opportunities, we continue to bring new applicants in, and we're going to continue to train new applicants. We have a huge changeover in the workforce, right? We have a lot of folks. The boomers are retiring, right, moving on, moving out. It's probably lessened the impact of that with work actually slowing down in Alaska, but our goal would be purposeful to keep that pipeline of new electrical workers full, because the market will come back or stabilize, or we will reach the new norm and those folks will continue to retire and move out.
Right.
I've got family and friends that I'm recommending get an application in.
Right now?
Right now.
Gotcha.
Because we're going to continue to take classes in and provide work opportunities for them. Some of those be on the road. When I came up, you know, I spent part of my apprenticeship in Bethel, spent part of it in Kodiak, spent part of it on the west coast of Alaska, the North Slope, everywhere but the southeast, I guess, really. And now that picture is taken to maybe elsewhere in the country.
Sure.
But the jobs are still going to be there. We're going to keep building Alaska. I love it when some of our long since retired members stop by the office and the first thing they all speak to is, you know, Alaska's seen slowdowns before, and we'll see them again in the future.
Sure.
But this construction's cyclical, and it will come back. So.
Well, where do you see construction going in the future? I mean, not that you have a crystal ball that works any better than anyone else's, but...
Well, I'd like to see construction going to the completion of my basement. That's probably the immediate big job on my horizon.
At your daughter's house in Homer.
I think there's some issues that are right in front of us that obviously need addressed. You know, with a state capital budget being as small or non-existent as it is, the state getting a handle on its operating costs and what that looks like in light of a capital budget.
Right.
That's going to play a big part of it. I mean, we're a resource-dependent state.
Right.
And the time has probably come to, in my opinion, mitigate some of that resource dependency to other revenue streams for the state. I'm not one of those elected officials. I don't get to wrestle with
that. Do I get to ask you what that revenue stream is?
That they spent the last, four or five special sessions trying to wrestle with.
Right, right.
But
I promise no hard questions.
But it will, you know, it will eventually, one can hope, get done, and we will be able to spread out the state's revenue needs be shared somewhat.
Yeah,
we're an infrastructure-rich state. I mean, you're right. We have a small population that is served by, you know, very large.
That's a really good point.
Infrastructure to service that small population. So I think there will probably always be opportunity for Alaskans in Alaska. May not see the migratory workforce coming up here like we've seen in the past.
Well, heck, you know, I'd like to see Alaskans go to work first if I had my choice. I'm biased, but, you know, I'd like to see men and women that make their home here have these opportunities when they present themselves. So in your travels and in your career, you've worked as an apprentice, you've worked in the field, risen up through management in the field, came into a labor union, went through the various ranks there, ultimately was elected to the highest position in the state. Now you serve as a executive manager of NECA. So in your career, what do you think has been the favorite part of the work that you've done? And of course, you know, I'll follow that up with your least favorite But in your time, what are some highlights that stand out to you?
So I think with construction, you know, and actually, if I go back, I mean, I played high school sports, spent time in the Marine Corps, and then, of course, on the construction side, is there camaraderie and working with other individuals on the job. One of my favorite memories probably had to do with working a fire alarm system at the old Palmer Correctional Facility, crawling around in attics that we had to completely suit up for, wear masks, crawl around, sweat like crazy all day long, and come out absolutely filthy. And after actually working a project that, thank goodness, I was 24 years old.
Right.
Because at 19, working in that same environment, I probably would not have seen the long-term benefit of sticking with it.
Sure.
But I still remember today coming down out of the attic of one of the little cottages one day, and my journeyman telling me how fortunate I was, because in his 38 years of being a wireman, he had never been on such a lousy project, and I was getting it out of the way early on. He had spent 38 years wondering what the worst job he ever worked on would be.
Then he found it.
And I had it out of the way 2 years into my apprenticeship.
Lucky you.
And
that's cool.
And in reality, he was correct.
Right? That's awesome.
The worst part, you know, of course,
Same job.
Might be the same project.
Yeah.
I would like to think I'm still making that history, so maybe it's still ahead of me, but construction has been good. We have raised three kids out in the Mat-Su, been married to my bride. It's fostered a healthy marriage for 30-plus years.
Yeah, I like that.
And seen our kids grow up and are on the path to being successful. Any one of the three, which I would recommend our apprenticeship or a similar apprenticeship program to, construction has been very good. And I don't see the end of that. Alaskan economy being what it is, I think I could get asked the same question in 10 years, and I will still maintain that construction industry in Alaska has been very good to Larry Bell and his family.
Yeah, beautiful. What's the favorite part of being the executive manager of NECA? You crawl around in attics anymore?
I don't crawl around
in
attics anymore.
What? No?
boy, favorite part of executive manager that I could put in a podcast.
Yeah. Keep it clean.
I network with like-minded professional individuals.
Right.
Whether it be at the local union or amongst my contractors association that are interested first in building Alaska and second, building Alaska and raising the standard by which we do that.
Nice.
Making sure that as Alaskans, we're giving back to this great state the best product they could get.
Nice.
Out of the electrical construction industry.
That's beautiful. And recording podcasts.
And recording podcasts
with
longtime friends.
That's great. Last thing I would like to ask you, this is probably my favorite question, but knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself at the beginning of your career? And your career has taken some pretty dramatic turns, so I don't know what particular part you would pick. I don't know if you could ever foresee working for NECA when you were an apprentice crawling around in that attic. But in general, and for anyone listening that may be thinking about getting into the construction trades in general, where would you what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, you bring a couple thoughts to mind when you mentioned getting into your apprenticeship right out of high school. Of course, like I mentioned before, my dad was a wireman electrician, and he tried to get me to go in right out of high school. When I did go in, my first foreman was my age.
Nice.
I had waited a few years
go
in
I
the program,
you.
So
sure.
When I showed up on my first job site, the foreman I reported to
was your peer.
Was the same age. Graduated high school the same year, different high school.
Interesting.
But we were the same age. I would explore the opportunity early. There are competitive programs to get into, but they're always looking for good, hardworking folks. If you don't know if you're going to college, not that you have decided you're not going, explore apprenticeship opportunities early. They're a great opportunity. Construction is an industry. It's one of the largest industries in Alaska still.
Right.
And it will be over the expanse of anybody listening to this podcast career.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering what you're going to do, explore them early. Find out what it is you want to do mm-hmm. and want to work with, and take that step.
Yeah, I like that. I said it before, but I love reminding youth out there that they have another option besides just college and just McDonald's. You can explore an apprenticeship. You can learn a trade. You can get compensated as you learn it and support a family someday, mm-hmm. as you've done. You know, you just made me think of something else that I would really like to ask. People actually ask me this about the IBEW's program. I got a call just the other day from a retiree who was asking me on behalf of one of his friends, a young man that he knew, who wanted to get into the IBEW's program, but found that it was very competitive. And you mentioned that a moment ago. So what would be some tips you would give a young man or woman or anyone looking to get into the apprenticeship at the
specifically IBEW NECA apprenticeship
program?
Yeah,
definitely. Because it's competitive.
And, work on their math.
Okay.
And be proficient at least up through Algebra 1.
Okay.
The schooling is you know, sitting in the classroom, you're going to understand why the light comes on when you flip the switch.
Mm-hmm.
The electrical theory behind it, mm-hmm. same thing. Edison and Ohm and all those guys had to figure out early on, because we want our folks that we're training to understand why it works, not just how to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes with a basic understanding of really up through algebra,
okay.
Algebra 1. You can get that otherwise. You can brush up on it. A guy like myself that had been out of high school for almost a decade, mm-hmm. I had to brush up on it.
Sure.
Because like a lot of folks sitting in the upper math courses in high school, wondering, I'm never going to use this the rest of my life.
Right.
I can tell you, you will.
You will.
If you want to be an electrician.
Yes.
Yep. But that, show up, work hard, continue to learn. If you get in, once you're in, continue to learn.
Yeah.
Continue to apply yourself. And the reward's there. And opportunity abounds.
Right.
If you'd asked me if I'd be sitting in my current role or actually one of half a dozen different roles I've held over the first 25 years of my career, I would tell you no.
Sure.
Didn't see any of it coming.
Right.
Be careful what you volunteer to do.
Yeah, right.
And
if you show up at a meeting, you might get nominated
for
something.
Sure,
right.
But you know, that's what keeps it exciting. I'm glad I just haven't been pulling wire or plugging in light switches for the last 25 years.
That's awesome. Well, I have to say that I think that the construction industry as a whole in Alaska is better off because of the work you've done in your career, Larry Bell. Thank you so much for showing up today and doing this interview with me, my friend.
Thank you, Bronson, and it's going to be better because of what you're doing.
Right on, brother.
Thanks
Thank
again.
You. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.